As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards. Like Rob Reilly, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, Ben, check this out.
What's going on, Scott?
I got something really, really cool to show you.
All right.
This is a, I'm going to show you a picture right here. This is a 1-to-1 scale model. Okay, so 1-to-1, you know what that means, right?
It's same size.
It's life-size vehicle. Take a look at this car right here, this photo. And I'll tell people where to look at it later.
But oh, yeah, that's nice.
That is a car made out of cardboard. Entirely out of cardboard.
No, it's not.
It's a scale model NSX made out of cardboard.
Let me see that picture.
There's a picture. And you know what? The crazy thing about this is it absolutely looks like a real car. That would fool somebody from a very short distance away that that's not a real car.
In fact, it did, didn't it?
It did, yeah, because this car is a car that was built for the Tokyo Auto Show this year, and it was done by Epson employees who are, it's a printing company.
Yeah.
They printed this vehicle. This is like a scale model that was printed on giant printers, you know, like you'd print a billboard or something. So the exterior surfaces of this car look real because they have the reflections and everything, you know, just right. It's got a glossy finish. When you look at the wheels, they look like real wheels, but they're just cardboard. There's nothing really to it. There's kind of I don't know what you call the corrugated box frame inside that holds everything up. But the outside looks exactly like a real car.
It genuinely does.
Yeah, it's not a joke. I mean, this looks real. And I've got a photo of these guys that are standing on huge, looks like tarps, with the flat pieces of cardboard that are printed out and laid out for them to assemble. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like, Tab A goes into slot B type stuff.
Right. On a huge scale.
Gigantic scale. I mean, like hot glue gun size. But really an interesting project. And when I saw that, I thought, well, man, there's really an angle here for us on this. It's not just the one car.
No, not at all.
Turns out you can get not life size, but you can get scale model cars online that you can print on your own color printer, and you can create these little masterpieces, really, that look like real cars, model cars that you put on your shelf that are metal or plastic. You can print them out of paper. You cut them out, glue them together, tape them, whatever, and they're suitable for display.
Can I paint a picture here, Scott?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so listeners, you know that Scott and I meet and always try to find interesting, fascinating things that we have. Ideally, some of our favorite stuff is stuff that's new to one or both of us, because we learn too. And every so often, Scott, when I'm walking over to your side of the office to talk about something, every so often I catch you just like mid rabbit hole going into some stuff.
Yeah.
And I was amazed when I walked up to your desk and you had these laid out.
Yeah.
And I thought you were building one at that moment.
Oh, no, no, no.
In my head, I was canceling whatever I was going to do that afternoon.
No, no. I wish I was building one of these at my desk there because it would be a lot of fun to do. But looking at the kits, when I say kits, I mean...
They're intricate.
Three sheets of paper, maybe, for each one, for each, like, a race car.
Sure.
And they're all laid out. Of course, you know, the car body's all spread out, and there's tabs and... little tiny wheel pieces and bearings and things you have to cut out, and it looks really intimidating to start with.
Yes.
But then you realize that, you know, if you have an afternoon or a weekend or a week, you got time to cut all this stuff out and make sure that you don't cut any of the tabs off and keep all the pieces in order. That, you know, it shouldn't be that difficult to assemble. I'm kind of laughing at myself.
I know.
Looking at these kits, I mean, they look terribly complex, Ben. Honestly, they do.
Do you remember when I asked you about instructions? You said this one doesn't actually have instructions.
Oh, no. You know, this one right here, I'm holding it up right now. Yeah. It's a Bentley. The Bentley does not have instructions with it at all. It's just a one sheet of paper, which is one of the smaller kits I've ever seen.
Yeah.
One sheet of paper. And looking at, like this, I've got what is this? This is a Alfa. No, not an Alfa Romeo. An Abarth. Never mind. I'm looking through a bunch of different things. I've got all different kinds of cars.
Yeah, that's a really intricate one. Too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, here's a Fiat 500, an Abarth version Fiat 500. There's a Spicer Fiero, which is a Spice Fiero, which is kind of a cool race car. I've got the NSX, a version of that. You know, the larger version. I've got a smaller one of that. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with some of these, Ben.
What's that?
The instructions are in, I think it would be Japanese.
Japanese.
The instructions are in Japanese. Now, can you imagine looking at this kit? I mean, you see what this entails, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm leafing through the pages of printouts here. All these different pieces, the instructions are in Japanese. But they do have visual instructions. So you could probably piece this thing together if you had, a little extra time on your hands to do something like this. But major, major undertaking.
This is something that you don't want to do if you're in a hurry.
No.
I think, you know, when I think of building these sort of things, what I always go back to, I always loved the toys that allowed you to construct stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Legos.
This is perfect.
Lincoln Logs. If I can go back.
Love it.
Make us both look.
The erector sets.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
the
man.
Metal erector
those?
Sets. Yeah.
It's this sort of the idea of making something for the sake of the creative exercise is I think it's a really good thing. And it's there's almost, at the risk of sounding pretentious or whatever, it's kind of like a good quiet moment. It's a meditation.
Oh,
sort
exactly.
Of thing.
I mean, how many kids grew up building plastic model cars?
Millions
and millions and millions of kids. I did as well. And I know that, you know, my father did, and I know that my great uncle did. And I know that, you know, it just went on and on and on. And I know that they did these types of things. And here's a new, and you know what? It's not new, really, but
no.
it's a version of a model kit that you would buy. Mm. I mean, this is a simple thing because you can print these at home now.
Yep.
Really, all you have to do is find the plans online, which is easy enough. I can tell you how to do that. I mean, just search. You can search. These are free, by the way.
Right.
The ones that I've got here.
Papercraft car plans.
Yeah.
You can search.
Free paper model cars or something like
Perfect.
That.
Perfect. Yeah.
And, there's a chance that you'll come up with, even a link that gathers all these together for you that will give you, you know, literally 100 different opportunities of different types of cars, transport vehicles. You can build dioramas that have, pit stop scenarios going on with people and tools.
Mm-hmm.
You can build motorhomes that travel with the vehicles. Everything from NASCAR to Formula One, IndyCar. You can build boats. You can build racing boats. You can build, of course, airplanes that don't fly.
Right.
But airplanes that, you know, you would display on a desktop.
Sure.
Something like that. And really, I mean, what this comes down to, you just need a few different things. You need a little bit of glue.
Right.
Right. And you have to have that, you know, we're talking about the kits that I'm looking at here on my, you know, in front of me on this paper. You probably would use like a toothpick.
Or maybe a Q-tip or something.
Something like that. It's really, the tabs are really, really small. So, you know, either toothpick or Q-tip or something like that. Maybe some tape, you know, in areas that you need to hold together. I don't know if that's even allowed or not, but, it may make it too heavy.
Yeah.
Good thick paper to print on. And a decent printer, of course, you know, color printer. and a sharp X-Acto knife to cut out these pieces, because I don't think – I mean, these looks – these are really – these tabs are so fine that I think scissors would
– It'd be tough to do them with scissors.
It would be very difficult with scissors. Even like little manicure scissors would be difficult. And then I think that probably the biggest thing that you're going to need for these, Ben?
What's that?
Time.
Oh,
you're going to need lots of time. And that's what a lot of people don't have a lot of that to spare. But time, and I would say patience, because this is something you can't really hurry. Otherwise, it's not going to look right.
Yeah, you don't want to end up with a busted-looking car.
No, no, exactly.
You want real life or on paper.
I mean, and really, I've seen some of these completed before, and they are – I mean, the way they print glossy, of course, and they've got all the detail that you'll need. They look like, you know, display-quality vehicles you could put on a shelf and be proud of them like you would any other model.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep them away from breezes.
are not breezeproof.
Yeah, just keep the door shut. Otherwise, your collection's going to end up in one side of your case.
They're 100% not breezeproof.
That's right.
Hey, one thing that we could add, is it okay? I don't want to steal your thunder.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I love these things because this paper craft stuff, right? It goes back a long, long time. Most people would think of origami.
Yeah.
Originating in Japan, but there have been people making paper into other shapes artistically for a very long time.
Yes.
It's also been in China. It's also been in Spain. And it consists – like it still goes on today in every Algebra 2 classroom across the United States, I'm sure. There's a fleet of airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also – these very high-end, very detailed, and very well-planned things that are coming out of – I see a lot of them coming out of Europe and Japan. I think they're slightly more popular there than they are here in the United States.
Yes.
But I got first turned on to these papercraft things when a good friend of mine who lives in D.C., she sent me some things in the mail. Said, hey, I'm sending you some action figures in the mail. Dude, I love G.I. Joes.
Action figures in the mail.
I was so convinced I was getting it, but instead I got some sheets of paper.
Really?
To fold into these.
Oh, no.
And I liked the idea and I saved it, but I wasn't confident in my time to, I didn't think I had enough time to build these things. So I'm sit, but I thought about this, when we were starting to look at this for an episode, and the thing that a lot of people should take away from this is that these are some of the perfect gifts to mail to people that you know that like cars.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't it make your day to get an envelope from one of your friends or your family?
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, Scott, happy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Thought you might be interested in this. Here's 10 different cars that you can build. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here, but there's 30 sheets of paper, but,
but there are only 10 cars.
Yeah, that's right. There's 10 cars through the mail.
Keep them separate.
Yeah. That's kind of, I mean, these things, like I said, a lot of them are free. Mm-hmm. Some of them you'll pay a couple of bucks for.
Yeah.
It depends on what you're looking for. I mean, search the sites, find what you're looking for, because a lot of them will have price ranges, and they'll offer many for free just to kind of get you excited about their kits, because they're very detailed. They're very interesting to do. I mean, they've got, and they also have them rated from easy to assemble to very difficult.
Right.
And the ones I'm looking at here are kind of in the mid-range. There's some that are real easy that, you know, you can cut out with scissors and fold them relatively simple. You know, just one page.
Sure.
Very few pieces, you know, a 15, couple of wheels.
20 maybe. Minutes or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're real, real smaller, well, much smaller projects.
Yeah.
Others will take you a long, long time to complete. And, the difficulty level goes up with, you know, the number of pieces that you have to cut out and the instructions that you have to follow. But, some of them are really, really fantastic. Now, also, when I was doing this, I stumbled along, the motorcycle. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Scott. I was gesturing at this very strange.
I had no idea what Ben was doing there across the table. But yeah, I'm going to get to the motorcycle.
Okay,
Ben, let's just go ahead and say it right now.
I'm sorry.
I said, no, that's all right. I stumbled on, I didn't know what that symbol was. So that's, must be the symbol for motorcycle. I'll remember that.
You know what? Don't try it on the street. I made that one up.
But, could get you hit.
But yes, I was trying to silently drop a hit.
You wouldn't believe what he was signaling, but that's motorcycle somehow. So I found a guy that had made a motorcycle, and it was on YouTube, I think, because it was video, and it actually had a working suspension. The thing had work, you know, you could push down on the front handlebars and the shocks would move and the back wheels would spin, the front wheels would spin. This was an unbelievably detailed model that the guy had made, and it was out of just white paper.
And were the springs out of paper?
Yes. Yes, every bit of this thing, the engine was highly detailed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything's there, Ben. The mirrors on the handlebars, the lines for the brake are
wow.
there. Everything is there. The spokes are all individually there. It's not just, you know, some cop out, you know, like four spokes or something. It's
some cop out.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, I'm going to make it up, but 45 spokes.
Wow.
Or whatever it is. It's a true scale replica of a motorcycle, and this was just made out of white paper. The guy had, you know, taken the time to build this thing.
It's just amazing.
And if you want to hear about something even more amazing,
I do.
There were some things that I stumbled on that I thought were kind of cool. Someone made a V8 engine, Ben. There's a V8 engine and there's a V16 engine. Now I'll tell you about the V16 first, only because I know a little bit more about the V8.
Okay, good.
The V16 is a It's an actual working engine that you can spin the crank and everything, and the pistons go up and down.
Are you serious?
It's got cutaways in the engine head that show you
what?
Exactly. Yeah. And this thing, I mean, it's enormous. It's big, not full size, of course, but it's heavy. You know, it's a big piece. But yeah, it's a V16 engine that's detailed.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
You can probably tell.
I'll tell you about this V8. Now you can imagine the scope of building something like that.
Yeah, just the complexity is
incredible. Now, I know something about this V8 engine that you'll find online too. The artist's name is Yee, Y-E-E. They didn't give any other name. I don't know the person's, I guess it'd be the first name, the person. Last name is probably Yee.
Yeah.
The person lives in Montreal, Canada. The artist lives in Montreal, Canada. And this thing it's the same thing. You know, it spins. It has cutaways of the pistons. You can see them moving up and down in the block. You can this one even has you can buy the kit.
Are you serious?
You can buy instructions from the artist how to make this kit, but it costs about $100. He'll sell you the directions how to make this for about $100.
You know what? As a cheap person myself, I see nothing wrong with that because that is so complex.
Yeah.
It is more than worth $100.
Do you want to know how complex?
Yes.
And I've only got one detail here that I think will blow your mind.
All right.
5,756 sheets of paper are required to make this engine.
5,756
sheets of paper to make this V8 engine. So can you imagine what that, for $100, he's going to sell you these detailed plans?
Does the paper come with the plans?
No. No, it does not. But just the plans. But anyways, I thought that was pretty cool.
Wow. 5,000, 6,000 almost.
I know. And then you'll find other stuff like someone made a Lamborghini that's, I mean, this thing is awesome looking.
Yeah.
Made it out of cigarette boxes.
Finally, someone's found a use for those.
Again, papercraft, but made it out of cigarette boxes. It's extremely detailed, Ben, even inside. It's got an interior, and the person made the seats are exactly like the seats that would be in a Lamborghini. The interior is exactly like it. It's painted red. It's got red rims, and you know the wheels look like real. They look like real wheels.
Yeah, red.
It's really, really cool. It's just people take this to the extreme. You know, they can build anything out of anything really if they give it their time and effort.
Now that Ferrari's not a 1-to-1 scale. Though.
No, that is not. Yeah, okay. That's right. Just, this is one that's, you know, on display somewhere, but you can easily find it if you search cigarette box Lamborghini, and you won't believe it. It's really cool. It's a great model.
So I think people are starting to pick up on the fact that we are very much pro papercraft cars.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're cool. I'm actually going to send them to some of my relatives for the holidays because they've got some time off.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my relatives are workaholics, so God knows they need something to do or else they're just going to start yelling at my aunt.
Sure.
So I'm going to send these off. I think these are really cool gifts, and they're also a really cool way to connect to that fun part of creativity that so many people lose as you get older, you know, to just make something for the sake of having fun, making something well. You know,
I plan
making something good.
I do right now. No time right now, but I do plan to build at least one or two of these things. There's some simple kits that are boat kits, you know, racing boats, things like that.
Yeah.
This Bentley that I'm looking at is one page. I might attempt that one first and see how I like it. But I think that it'll be something you can put on the shelf with pride and say that, you know, I built that one. And honestly, when people look at it, you'd have to probably tell them that's made out of paper if they don't spot it right away.
As long as you take your time.
Take your time.
So I feel like I've learned definitely that it's just amazing what people can do with the most common material. I mean, Scott, I say this to you as your friend. We've just been writing on paper this whole time like suckers.
That's right. I'm just using it for reading and writing. I don't know what I'm thinking.
What are we doing?
Yeah, getting the news.
All right. So I guess, are we good? Should we?
No, I think we're good. Yeah, I mean, because I would encourage people to go and look at these things. And one other thing, if nothing else, when you print these things out in color, they look pretty cool. Race car things.
They look really cool.
You could just tack this up on your cubicle wall at work, and that looks cool enough. I mean, it's an interesting thing to look at, the kit laid out in flat form. But you build one and put it on your desk, you know, doesn't cost you anything really other than if you have to pay for each paper that you print.
Right.
But really, doesn't cost you anything, and I think it's definitely a worthwhile project.
And the picture there looks sort of like those – it looks like a photograph of the sheets of pieces that would come in model kits.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly. The flat sheets.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. You want to do some listener mail?
I do.
Okay, Scott. So we've got Keith writing in to us from Marysville, Washington.
Hey, Keith.
And Keith says – as much as I hate to be a voice against the sacred American institution, I'd have to say that the cons outweigh the pros of 16-year-olds driving. Now, this is in response to our earlier podcast, Is 16 Too Young to Drive?
Okay.
We pointed out a lot of the cons in our show, like the brain development, driving strategy, reaction time. But he wants to weigh in on his experience living in Japan. He says, I'd have to say they have the right idea. It's 18 years old to drive. And in order to get a license, it normally involves attending a private licensed driving school at significant expense from $2,000 and up, depending on how long it takes you to get through. You can get a license without school if you pass certain tests, but for the general rule, school is mandatory and well worth it. They take you textbook basics, right? So getting to know your auto up to passing written tests to hours of simulated driving. And
simulated driving.
In driving simulators.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, his sentence is really funny here. Two parentheses, hours of simulating driving in parentheses, surprise, driving simulators. Mm-hmm. And more hours driving a real car on a closed course on the school ground, and then driving a dual control car in city streets, and then actually driving solo during the driver's test.
Wow.
So by the time they actually get the license, Keith says, they're relatively experienced. School takes months. And with the financial costs involved, they're also more invested than new drivers in the U.S. Losing a license is much more costly over there, especially if you have to retake school. Now, he says they don't drive anywhere near as much as we do in the States because of public transit over there. So you can't really draw an apples-to-apples comparison. But he is willing to say that, in general, they are safer, better-qualified drivers when they get on the road. So if you – and he also points out that if you get your license on a standard shift, you can drive any type of vehicle. If you get on automatic, that's all you're allowed to drive. And he says parents may be so torn between concern for their kids' safety, strong desire for their kids to be their own transportation, that it makes it tough for them to make a logical choice either way. So Keith says things will likely remain as they are, but he's all for making an extensive school experience as opposed to driver's ed a mandatory part of the process. He says, 16 years old, is it okay? He guesses so, but let's at least prepare them better than we do now.
Wow. Good letter, Keith.
Yeah, he wrote, yeah. I mean, and I'm just skipping around.
Yeah, that's a long letter there.
Yeah,
that's good,
that.
Though. No, I like to hear all that because otherwise we would have no idea that that's going on. Mm-hmm. I like that idea. I mean, the $2,000 course, that seems a little extreme, but I guess when you put it in terms of, you know, otherwise you just don't get it. Right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, is that true? That's
it,
right.
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah. All right, that makes sense. But man, it sure gives you something like to fight to keep, you know, because you wouldn't be so laissez-faire about you know, losing your license. Not that, you know, anybody really is, but
right.
But if you knew that was the penalty, that you'd have to go back to school that takes months and months and months and thousands of dollars, I think that would be a huge deterrent to a lot of people here in the States.
Yeah.
For, you know, just the general activity behind the wheel.
Well, so I was 16 when I got my license, and you were 17, right? We
yes.
talked about that
yep.
in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I honestly think I would have had to wait a year or at least a year to save up the money for
my job.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, because I would have been working to do the same thing. It wouldn't have been my parents buying it.
Yeah.
And man, that's, it seems like they get an awful lot of behind the wheel experience.
Sure.
Between the simulation, the dual control car, then the solo, and what was, there was another, the closed course driving.
Yes. Which is cool.
That is really cool.
Cause you and I associate that with stunt
driving. Well, yeah, closed course is not what we're thinking about.
I'm just picturing doing the parallel park swinging in,
I'm thinking of driving on two wheels through a flaming hoop.
We need our own auto show.
I know.
It would be so cool.
A thrill show. A car stuff. Auto thrill show.
Stay tuned.
Just like Joey Chitwood's show.
Yes, except with us.
Yes.
I will totally wear the Evel Knievel thing if I get away with it. And just so you know, I'm cool with explosions.
Oh, me too.
Awesome. Keith, sorry we got off subject.
That's way off. No, but really, that's a good letter. And thanks for cluing us into what's going on there. Cause that's the only way we find out that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's a fascinating proposition. First off, we hope you enjoyed the episode. We hope you will strongly consider checking out these paper craft cars. If you would like to talk to us on the internet, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us at Twitter, CarStuffHSW. You can also check up on any automotive topic at our website, HowStuffWorks. And those of you who have listened to us before know that we always give you the option of writing to us directly at
CarStuff@HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good!
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Reilly, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.